got too much to do. Listen, don't mention the war. I mentioned it once, but I think I got away with it all right.
Welcome back to Don't Mention the Fussball. I believe we are now on episode 84. After a long break, it's been over the winter. We've been hiding in holes in the ground, hibernating and trying to ignore what was been going on with Hatter, which sometimes works out for the best. So we're sitting here in Berlin, in my humble abode. And this is Jan that's with us.
Hey.
We've got a few things to talk about, but this is going to be really quite a short episode, and we're going to come back again in about 10 days' time after the last game of the season in the Olympiastadion, and we'll have Joel, our Canadian guest, with us on that occasion. That's the plan, anyway.
He's calling me Young Joel. Also Canadian is the name I have in my phone for him now.
Young Joel.
Because that's what you called him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, young compared to me.
And we're back to the same recording way we did way back in 2017 when we had the awesome idea of starting a Hatter podcast, isn't it?
But the we've had one or two technical difficulties leading up towards this.
But we got it going. That's the important part.
Yes, eventually.
Unlike the Hatter men's team, we just keep going.
But not actually getting anywhere.
We're getting anywhere. Look, we're basically being promoted right now.
Oh, yes.
So the last time we talked was in September when they won. I think they won the first match because before that they were just utterly shite.
They're probably just trying to lull us into a false sense of security, I suppose.
I just didn't know what to do. Remember the first round of the cup where they just Münster, who are in the relegation battle right now, and
I don't think they're battling. I think they've been hung, drawn, and quartered, haven't they?
I don't know.
They're going right to the bottom of the table.
I can hardly keep up with Hertha as is. And Toni Leistner came out and said, in the first half, we thought we were playing prime Barca. Even if you don't say that.
No. You're just asking for trouble, something like that.
Okay, after we stopped recording, they went on a run. Was it 13 wins? No, it was something crazy. 9 wins.
Yeah, it seemed like things were working.
Yeah. And then they killed Elversberg in the cup, quite normally. Oh, and then we had the Kaiserslautern Cup game. Did you go?
No. I've not gone to any of the cup games.
That's the 6-1 that broke the camel's back, I think. Because after that match, it was 6-1 they had.
That was all our goal allowance for the rest of the season. I'll just say. We blew it all in one binge.
And we blew it all on
like a big bar of chocolate.
We didn't have enough defense left for the rest of the season as well. Yeah. It is now, is it April?
Yes.
April 26th.
It's still April. Still April, yes.
We had a match on Saturday.
Yes.
For the men's team. And we had the members meeting on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
So why don't we start off with Saturday?
Saturday.
Give us some
woo.
Some woo.
Woo.
You woke up in the morning, you brushed your teeth.
I did.
Did you take a shower, Simon?
I had a cup of coffee.
You had a cup of coffee with or without milk?
The world's not ready for me not to have a shower.
Then
we toddled our way along to the Olympiastadion, as you do.
Weather was nice.
Weather was windy,
but nice.
Yes, it was a bit drafty at times, but when you're out in the sun, it was quite toasty, really. Game started off extraordinarily well, or so it seemed. I think it was Risa that we thought he scored in like the first minute or something.
Brekalo.
Was it?
Brekalo? Can it be Brekalo?
It might have been. I'm not sure, to be honest.
Somebody
scored a goal. Yeah, somebody put the ball in the back of the net, but it was deemed not to be a goal by VAR.
Was that the one where they were offside like 30 seconds before that or 15 seconds before that?
It was something quite complicated because they were dithering for ages about it all. And
that's not in the spirit of the game.
No. Oh, refs. I don't know. Who dabble? But, yeah, that was all very exciting. We thought, well, yeah, okay, we've done that once. We can do it again. It'll be fine. But it wasn't so much. We did.
Sorry, Patrick.
Sorry. Oh, dear. Sorry about that, gentle listener. He just gets excited. He just can't hold it in. Yeah, I mean, the game, what can we say about the game, really, sort of?
No, but just keep on. Okay, the goal was disallowed, and then wasn't there a penalty at some point?
There was a penalty, and then there wasn't.
And the way I heard it, that in the first half, Hertha was, like, really, they should have been up.
They dominated it all, really. Slightly less so in the second half, but nothing seemed to be going for us, really. There were a lot of fouls, I think it's worth saying. If you look at the stats for the game from the visitors,
mm-hmm.
And we seem to be getting chopped quite a lot and picking up lots of cards, which was a bit bizarre, really. Some strange goings on there, but yeah, that's just the way the cookie crumbles sometimes, I guess. But we were definitely sort of dominating it all. If you look at the stats for the game, I think it was 23 shots, something like
23 to 6.
23, yeah. And then I think we had, what, 7 on target to their one. Unfortunately, their one actually went in the goal, which was a rather limp goal, but it's...
That's enough.
That's enough, really, when it comes down to it. How do you win a game of football? You score more goals than the other team. And that's really what happened in summary.
Do you think they should have won the game?
I think they should have done, yeah.
That's it.
They should have done.
So it's bad luck.
If you look at all the stats, we were sort of doing better with everything apart from the fact we didn't get the ball in the back of the net. But what can you say? We were the better team, but we lost. And that happens sometimes. What can you do?
Yeah, because I don't watch. I can only listen. I didn't even hear the goal for Kiel at all. I was walking past the screen like, oh, when did they score?
Everybody just went, that happens, doesn't it? You just go quiet and your heart sinks and,
But there was no jeering, no whistling, nobody was, or did anybody, I mean, the fans didn't complain much.
I don't think they were arsy about it. They were quite subdued at the end of the game, I felt.
Used to it is the right thing to say.
Yeah, yeah. The level of the support, I think it was, 47,000? Bear in mind how all sort of average we are. And I think the level of support was remarkable. I mean, sort of going way back, one of the previous times we were in the Zweite Liga, you had crowds of like 28,000 or whatever turning up.
Yeah.
There were some really...
The first or the second relegation?
Sorry?
The first or the second relegation?
Second, I think.
And the Luke,
I can't remember. I can't remember. It was a long time ago. I'm very old. My brain cells are dying off.
Do you also have frontotemporal dementia?
I lean forward a lot.
Like some orange.
And somebody tried to assassinate me today. It was outrageous.
What?
My Secret Service detail, where were they? I don't know.
What happened?
It was outrageous. I don't know. Somebody spilt some vermouth, I think. That's probably what it was.
Did you really get out of it, or did you just talking shit?
I'm just talking shit, normal thing, really. I was just talk about the frontal lobe dementia, leaning forward, and I'm immediately flipped to assassination attempts that weren't.
The guy made a call, last Thursday, which should have been the day, but it didn't happen. But let's hope he's right at some point. You know, the guy who
predicts people being assassinated.
No, he projects when Orange Hitler's, Cheeto Hitler's brain is going to, and he can no longer
perform.
Talks about his gait, that his gait is like he had a stroke.
Ah,
he's sundowning.
He leans right forward, which is very symptomatic, apparently.
And,
yeah. I don't think it was a gunshot anyway. I think it was this.
Oh.
It was a bit of a false in the pants.
Like the last time. Oh, it was a false flag like the last time. Oh, shit. Popularity is down. Let's have somebody kill him.
Yes.
But let's go, steer away from that.
It was funny the way, you know, when he could hear the sound in the background and he just smirked. He just looked around. It was such ham acting. It was really quite laughable, but hey. Anyway, we are getting distracted.
Yeah.
And we've done what's never happened before.
Never.
Never. Jan is now cuddling her tinia. It's just seeking solace.
Okay, in general. Are you disappointed with the season? Or are you just resigned saying, you know, it happens all the time.
It's what it is. You just got to sort of, you know, we'll have the last game in just under 2 weeks.
Sure.
And then that will be that. And we can just hope for better next year.
I'm just crossing my fingers we don't get a 1-6 or 2-6 thrashing like we used to get. Oh. Remember?
Oh, well, I'll just give up and drown our sorrows in some watered down beer or something.
Okay. 3 positive things, players, whatevers, about the season from you. Because we all know the negative ones. Maybe we have 3 good ones.
Oh, my brain's gone blank there. What's it called?
Eichhorn?
No. Defender. Right back.
Kechter?
No.
Eichberger?
No.
No?
No, you're saying everybody but the right one.
Kechter?
No.
Seefolk?
Yes.
Dio?
I think
Seefolk.
He's made some horrible mistakes a few times and get
others
sent off and stuff like that. But generally speaking, I think he played really, really well. I think personally, you know, because he sort of zoomed up the touchline and what have you, and did things up front, and he did some really good defensive things as well. So I will take that as a positive. Possible, and he had a good cheer actually when they were announcing the team beforehand.
He's the.
He's popular guy.
He's popular now because of his hard work and you know his career at Hertha was bad. He came, I think he scored 1 goal and then he was loaned out 2-3 times. Nobody wanted to buy him and then he came back and somehow Dardai said let's try it and then now he's last season he played all the games. He was fit more, I guess.
Well, he went off with about 10 minutes to go, I think, on Saturday. Something like that. He was sort of subbed off, but you know, again, I think he played really well. So if you're looking for a positive and, you know, it's a bit like a needle in a haystack, that was one to my mind. I always noticed that anyway.
I'm just going to make Joel bad now. And I'm really disappointed in Reza this season. I know he's a top scorer and whatnot, but his attitude and everything.
It's not super duper. I mean, I wouldn't pick him out as a star. I mean, he's scored some goals and what have you, but
yeah, but he's always complaining. He's the captain now and he's on the pitch and complaining. He hardly ever goes.
He did some stupid foul, as a captain. I can't remember exactly when it was during the game.
He got a yellow right away.
It was a ridiculous thing to do. You know, you're supposed to be a leader on the pitch.
Yeah, but sometimes as a leader you have to.
But it was just stupid, you know. He was going to get a yellow for sure. And sometimes when players do a stupid foul because they got pissed about something, if you were the manager, I would be going bonkers at them. I mean, what the hell are you doing? Because you don't know what impact that yellow card, you know, if you're just doing it because you've got a fit of pique about something, because you thought somebody might have tripped you or something a few minutes beforehand. You pick up that yellow card, and then something else happens later on, and you have a yellow card in your front.
Yeah, I mean, his defending has never been up to par or up to anything, so except for a few games where he really tried. Before, he was doing the Mitchell Weiser, you know, when he always would just run back like...
that's a bit of a harsh thing to say.
Because of Weiser?
Weiser, yeah. Comparing him to Weiser, that's not a nice thing.
Oh, we have to at some point talk about players we used to have and where they're now. Because I think Niklas Stark, remember him?
I do.
Yeah. He's with Bremen now.
Right.
And they played Stuttgart. And he exchanged shirts with Maxi Mittelstädt. Okay.
That's a blast in the past, both of them two, really.
Back on track. My first thing is we have a team structure that's intact, I would say. Even if they're losing, and even if nobody has I don't want to say balls, because I want to say the other thing. What do women have? They don't have the ovaries to just kill a game. You know why? Because balls just shrivel when the going gets tough.
And there's been blooming cold games this season, too.
Oh, yeah, the winter was crazy. Anyway, team structure is okay, I think. Back when we were still in Bundesliga 1, there was no team structure whatsoever, and now we at least have... They're all together somehow. You know, it's... Of course, the coaches always say, oh, we have a good team structure, but this time I feel it's a bit different.
You believe him?
I believe him, yeah.
I believe.
Yeah. So, your second good
thing. You could have that written on a big piece of paper and put it in the dressing room saying,
ooh, Simon with the pop culture callback. Oh, the next season's coming out. So,
yes.
I'm not sure.
Did somebody say that he's coming back to coach a women's team or something?
I'm not sure if he's going to coach, but it's about the women's team. That's all I know.
That was very, very good. Even if you don't like, you know, football particularly, it's just as characters, I think it is.
I wasn't so happy with the conclusion of the third season.
What, about him going away? Going back to life?
Yeah, but I have so many questions. What's up with that? What's up with that? Him and Rebecca?
Keeping you on the hook. That's what.
Yeah, but they were about to end because he kept saying in interviews, it's like Star Wars. It's a trilogy. And then it should have been done. I don't know.
Somebody made him an offer he couldn't refuse.
Ah.
Yeah.
But doesn't anybody it's make awesome. Me an offer I can't refuse? Yeah. So back from Ted Lasso to your second good thing about the season. How many matches did you see at all? Because I am...
Well, nowhere near this. Because I used to come to, you know, virtually all the home games.
Before the grandkids and before COVID.
Before COVID and the grandkids and what have you. And
flights cancelled at the last minute when you were already on the train to London.
And some of the ones in the sort of, you know, late summer as opposed to autumn, I do a lot of festivals and things, so that sort of gets in the way sometimes too. But how many must have been about 8, 9, something like that, maybe?
That's okay.
Don't know.
I don't think I have much more than that.
Every other one. We try. It doesn't always work out like that. Like in February, we didn't come to Berlin at all. But then again, we came twice in January. So it's that's the way it works out sometimes.
You didn't miss much.
Yeah.
Except, yeah. Okay, your second good thing. Did we already talk about it? No. I interjected with the question how many games.
To get to the games is quite a good thing, I guess. But as far as Hertha's concerned, well, it's a bit hard, isn't it?
it can be anything that relates to Hertha, even if it's just in your mind.
What, like an imaginary sort of winning the Pokal?
No.
That's in my mind. But
I enjoyed seeing...
I've got a secret about that somewhere.
They now have this and that drink. I don't know. Have you made use of the automatic
beer dispensers?
Yes.
No, I haven't. But credit to them for that. I had a friend that came to visit us in
on the lady
December. No, it was the chap that was particularly inspired because he's a Sheffield Wednesday fan. You know, back in England,
we're playing Sheffield Wednesday on a Saturday,
and he came to watch her to play, and he was so enthusiastic and excited about it all, and he was thrilled about the automatic beer dispensing machines. He thought that was an amazing innovation. So rock on, Herter, I say.
I think it's just another way to automate stuff and make people lose their jobs. But
yeah, you might be right. But there was plenty of people walking around with the barrels on their back, sort of, you know, selling beer as well. So,
but anyway, could you drink anything from that machine? No, because it's all beer.
No, yeah? I can't have any of it. Yeah. It just don't affect me. Which is a shame because it would be, you know, coming to Germany as much as we do, not being able to drink the beer is a bit of a tragedy, really, but such is life.
Speaking of which, I still have beer from Munich in my pantry for Joel.
What are you going to say, in your pants for a minute?
In my pants.
That's a bit severe.
I have beer in my pants. What's that smell?
Oh, what is that smell?
I don't know. No, my sister-in-law lives in Munich.
Okay.
And when Joel came over...
I extend my every sympathies towards her.
And when Joel came over the last time, because I always give him shit about liking Bavaria and Munich, so I try to be nice, and I asked her if she could bring me some beer, because there's a brewery called Giesinger Breu, I think, which is a nice small one, and they did crowdfunding, so she is a member, and she has there's a wall with names, and her name is on there.
Oh, that's quite
and
cool.
She gets you get a coupon for beer. Once a month, you can get a certain amount of beer. So we went when we were there in the summer. We went for a trivia night,
right?
And she paid mostly with her coupons. Yeah, they had a very nice non-alcoholic beer, which is what I would drink.
Yeah,
and yeah,
I'll say they didn't have any gluten-free beer.
I'll check. I
doubt it.
Let me get back to you.
It's quite hard with the rules of things in Germany.
Oh, the Reinheitsgebot?
Yeah, yeah.
But you've had Lamsbräu, right?
I did, but I prefer the Bitburger, to be honest.
Bitburger has a...
Yeah, they do. Yeah,
gluten-free?
That's what I go for these days, yeah.
What's it called?
It's called Bitburger gluten-free.
Yeah.
The squeaking chair. There you go, gentle listeners. What's it called?
Bitburger glutenfrei. Helles Lagerbier unfüllt.
There we go. I told you. What can I say?
Well,
as if by magic, a bottle of beer.
Open it closer to the thingy. Clank. I have more. So I had my.
Sorry, I can't offer you anything.
That's good. She came over to visit because she goes to concerts quite a lot. And then I asked if she could bring me some beer, so she brought like 4 or 5 beers. On a like in one paper carry thing,
yes.
And Joel was
that's what they come in.
And Joel was at a hotel, and I saw him once, and I tried to give it to him, but I forgot. And then I kept the beer all this time for him to come back now, and he's currently not in Berlin. But when he comes back, I'm gonna give him that beer. Your second good thing, did we have that already?
Yes, I have the second.
The beer dispenser.
The beer dispenser.
Oh, okay,
nothing to me, but I mean, other people thought it was pretty well.
So it's not everything. Let's have people have their fun. I am not blanking. I'm very happy. Ha! Recent news about the last members meeting and the elections that took place for the advisory boards. Because a person, I think, who is very, very good and who used to be on the presidium, then he became the he stepped off the board to become the insolvency was very a thing that was really, really close for Hertha, bankruptcy.
Good.
And they had he was the leader. In German, you say Sanierung. He became the Leiter Sanierung, which is restructuring, right? Okay, if you're really broke, then you're restructuring.
Yes.
So he became the person who was the leader for restructuring, in charge of restructuring. And then he did that for half a year for €1 a month.
Yeah.
And then he was supposed to become a permanent position, but he and he couldn't agree with the board about how severe the cuts and the measures he would take would be, so he stopped. And I really missed him because he had initiative and he's a good lad. And now
He's a
good lad. He's a bloke. No. And this time marked the first time that the advisory board has always been voted on by the members, but this time they could select the person with the most votes would become the chairman of the advisory board. And that happened for the first time, and he got 700 votes out of 1,100. So,
as I gathered at the members' meeting, there was all the votes and things were with an app this time.
Yes, and it worked.
No bits of paper or waving hands around.
They you could use your smartphone, or they had devices to give out to you if you didn't have a smartphone to keep it accessible. And I think in the beginning it took a bit longer, but it worked.
Yes.
I mean, we had other clubs in Germany who had to stop because they couldn't get the voting to start. I think Stuttgart at some point, they had to stop. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm happy about that, and I'm very optimistic. This is going to be a jinx about the future of the club with the
Some of the previous people tried to get re-elected, as I understand it.
And, oh, yeah.
And they did.
And they cried.
It didn't get very close.
Nope. Yeah, and then the good thing, we had like seven people. We had three people for the chairman, uh-huh. And you had three people or two people for the vice chairman. That all worked, and then you have them meet. You need four people, and then it goes. You have to have an absolute majority, like 4%, and one person only got it, and then it goes on and on and on and on. And the good people are those who know that they're not going to win, and then they drop out.
Right.
And then people dropped out, and we now have four people. This guy, that guy, that guy, and some other. So, yeah, most
people... Don't overburden us with specifics, you know. This guy, that guy, and another guy. Yeah.
Too detailed for you? Four human beings are now on the advisory board.
Well, that's a relief.
Yeah.
That was me thinking you'd give me three dogs and a guinea pig. But, well, they might do quite well, you know.
And nobody burned any money on stage, or nobody showed their bathing trunks, like happened at the last election for the board. It wasn't as much of a freak show as it used to be. But somebody complained about the currywurst and fries being €7.
Oh. Well, I think I've been twice before in the past over the years, and it was free, but it wasn't currywurst. It was bockwurst or something.
That was before we were poor.
Why?
When we see that money, not kegel, not bowling, but the other thing with a smaller ball.
Yes, it's like Skittles.
Yeah, the Skittles division. They would always prepare the food.
A German name though, wasn't it? But
Kegel.
Okay.
Because the thing is,
Skittles is easy to say.
Yeah, the Skittles. Now I'm getting hungry. No, and they used to prepare everything, and you would get a coupon, and you would get a stew.
Ooh.
Like an Eintopf.
Actually, that vaguely rings a bell. Yes, yeah. Some people had that.
And cake. Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily be able to trust what was in.
Yeah, but they tried to get rid of that. And yeah, now we don't have the food anymore. And then there was one where the food was empty. There was no more food. And then we went at the City Cube, which is kind of behind the highway and in the middle of a bit of blindness of Norway. There's the Avus, the other highway, but there's not really... It's isolated.
Way we can nip out and go and get something.
Yeah. So they had like armies of delivery drivers coming up and dropping off food for people, pizzas and whatnot.
The number of cycle delivery people for food is just getting mental in Berlin.
And they are, if they're Indian, they're always doing two things at the same time. And somebody told me that they're probably...
Riding on the pavement is one thing they do.
No, they're riding, but at the same time, they're talking. And I think they talk because they do customer service at the same time. Somebody told me that the Indian people do two jobs at the same time. So they're riding, delivering, and at the same time, they're talking. So they're mostly talking. Maybe it's a customer service thing. Yeah, way too many.
Ooh.
But I'm always mad to my at my city, but we have great bike like bike roads. A road is closed.
To be fair, yeah, I think Titan Marble is pretty good. But it's,
depends on what
you is you know, can be a little bit iffy perhaps, but for the most part, I think it's really good. The cycle paths and things.
I mean, riding from the office to you said I should take the road with more cycle lanes. There was only a cycle lane for the last 300 meters.
Well, Gunzelstrasse that comes up through to here, that's got cycle lane, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. But well, not like
definitely has.
Yeah, but I have higher expectations. I want it to be physically cut off, not only...
It's just a bit of brick.
Yeah, but if I go from my house to the office, there's at least the last 2 kilometers I'm on a Fahrradstraße, which is safer. But
yeah.
But some cyclists are crazy. Okay, members meeting.
Talk about cyclists. I'll be brief.
Worst
place in the world. What worst place or just amazing place in the world are just bonkers road range cyclists. Copenhagen.
Oh, I thought Amsterdam.
Copenhagen is... That's where I've seen... It was just... Bedlam. It's just absolute bedlam. But anyway, I got distracted again. Well, obviously, it's all bikes in Amsterdam.
Do you have bikes here?
Hmm?
You have bikes
here? Yeah. Veronica's just put hers away.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So your third best good thing.
Third best thing.
Good thing. Not so bad thing.
Not so bad.
Okay thing. Acceptable thing.
Just lowering the bar further. I think I always have to say it's a bit of a cover-all and a bit of a cop-out, but I do appreciate the level of support. It's got nothing to do with the actual team itself. I think it seems to be pretty incidental really what the team get up to, but how so many people can be so committed to support a team that is not perhaps quite the best in the world. I think is extraordinary, and credit to people. I don't necessarily understand it. I think they're all bonkers myself, but it's great. It's great. I think as probably as an Englishish kind of person or a Britishish kind of person coming here, it's that level of support is just bonkers.
Especially with after going down and not getting anything back for the past 3 seasons.
Yeah.
In terms of success.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, last season there was a bit of a point where they didn't want to do it anymore because when they slipped into the relegation spots or close to relegation. That's the crazy thing about this league. The 10th team in the league right now can still get relegated. So actually, I really like
the point range is
it's
pretty tiny.
That's the cool thing about Zweite Liga. You don't know who's going to win the league, which is very different from the top tier. And yeah, it's always very, very close, and you can never be safe of anything.
I think Munster at the bottom are pretty.
I just know Heidenheim is the last and the dead last in the upper tier.
Yeah.
Who else?
In society, it's definitely Munster, because I noticed that, because they scored at the start of, fairly early on in their game on Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and then they conceded 3, so that was the end of that.
Ah.
So it looked like, oh, something different might happen, and then, no.
From prime Barca to relegation. That's the way the cookie crumbles.
Actually, not that far, because Fürth are in.
Who's last?
Who's last? Munster. It was Munster.
Okay.
And they're sort of 5 points behind Fürth, who have got the same number of points as Magdeburg. But Magdeburg have got a lot better goal difference.
Yeah, but Magdeburg changed their coach. They
recently.
Oh, in the summer they had Christian Tietz, who played this nice offensive, and then he went to Hanover, and now they think that's the thing. Not sure if they lost many people. Anywho, my last thing is Patrick will have guessed it by now. The women's team.
Oh, surely not.
The only bright spot in this
sorry state of affairs.
In this valley of mediocrity. I mean, they're in first place with, I think, 3 more games to play. and they're up by 9 or 6. They have one less game, or maybe this league is crazy. Sometimes I look on Friday, I say, okay, Sunday is the match. I look at the Fußball app and look at it, and okay, cool. It's going to be that. And then one day later, they're going to change it. So whenever I go to a women's game, I have to check Instagram right before we leave, because they might have changed the venue again. The home games are always at the Olympic Park, but
yeah.
There's crazy stuff like the grass court, the Hüppeplatz. It's across from the Amateurstadion.
All right.
But it goes down. You have the academy, these newer AstroTurf thingies, and then you have one where it goes down, and it's the only real grass on that side of the street.
Right.
And they
click that was AstroTurf over there.
And they mostly play there because women's research has never been, sports research has never been for women, so women tend to have way more ACLs torn.
Oh.
Because they're different bodies than men's, but all the research has been done on men.
Right.
Awesome. And so they play on that, but most games are on Sunday.
And they wear specialist support things around the neighborhood. It doesn't help.
They're starting research now, but it still happens a lot. So they play there, but on Sundays, the neighbors complain because the supporters, the ultras, if you want to call them that, they have
drums.
One drum, and a tiny, tiny little
hooter.
No, blah blah blah. The loudspeaker thing.
Oh, a microphone, like a little PA system.
Yes, and so the neighbors complain, so they can't play there on Sundays anymore. So they mostly either play at Olympia.
Well, don't live next to a football ground if you don't want to hear.
You wouldn't know
how. Football even.
The thing is, the houses are so far away. You know, it's a.
Oh, the park's huge.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you have the graveyards around it, and this and that, and this and that. Yeah, so now they mostly play at the Amateurstadion, or they play at the one right next to it with the blue running track.
Yeah.
It's the Hans Braunstadion.
Jeez. I have no idea who it's called, but I know the one you're talking about.
Oh, I just learned this season because I didn't know what anybody was talking about.
You're welcome to my worlds.
Yeah. Yeah. But I speak the language. You don't. The women are in the top spot. They changed their coach before the season. And as I was trying to explain to you earlier, and all you had this flustered look on your face, like, what the fuck is he talking about? They're in the Regionalliga, which is the third tier. And the next upper one is the Bundesliga 2 and then the Bundesliga 1. And Regionalliga it's not enough to win the league. They have to win the league and play two more games against FC Saarbrücken of the Southwest division, and they are in the Northeast division. So in June, the thing is, the last home match, the last game, is on the 31st of May against Jena 2, and then the next game is on the 12th of June.
Right.
And then they play in Saarbrücken first and then at home. And if they win on aggregate, you know the deal, then they will get promoted to the Bundesliga 2.
Wow.
As Ines predicted. Grüße, Ines.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, I would recommend the podcast they have, but it's in German. West End Girls.
West End Girls, yes, indeed.
Have you listened to it, Simon?
No.
Why?
Because
don't you like them?
I'm stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, so the women's is like, oh, and okay, another aspect about the women's team is because they have the ovaries, they just go, they score one goal, second, third, fourth, fifth, as you're supposed to. Unlike the men's who just go, okay, we won the lap. Why don't we just stop? Could be enough, and then they either draw or
Or if you keel and you spend half the game rolling around on the floor pretending to be hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, but they're also down there in the relegation battle, which doesn't excuse the... As I haven't seen anything but the highlights, I can't
comment.
But there was a lot of that. One was ridiculous. He was rolling around for ages.
After they
rolled off the pitch, and then suddenly realized where he was, and then he rolled back on again. I mean, how dodgy. Wow. No, I kid you not. That was bad. That crazy. I mean, the ref should have booked him for doing that, I reckon, but that's just me being mean.
I think we want to call this episode the one with the with the creaky chair.
Yes.
Okay, so we're done with this very, very interesting discussion.
Okay.
So we talked about that. Talked about the match.
We've got to keep our powder dry to when Joel's here.
I'm good. In German, you say... So everything just goes right through my brain. I had an idea, and
it's cool.
I feel like an ADHD, squirrel. A very, very famous German saying from football is there was a player in the 80s or some of the 70s. He was asked by the field reporter, so what happened? Everyone had to delay. What happened? What happened this season? Why didn't the men's team get anywhere near the promotion zone? We had injuries. Okay, we had the abysmal start with, I think, he didn't score a goal from open play until the fifth match.
Well, not scoring goals, is fairly, fairly significant.
Yeah. And everybody was so excited because the club finally said, this year we really want, before they were like, we just want to play and we want to get promoted, and then the beginning already put him at a disadvantage for the rest of the season. And then they had, in December, they won all their games.
At one point, I could, even when we didn't win necessarily, I can remember sort of thinking, well, at least they're really, going for it. They're not just faffing around. You can have time for a team that are sort of putting the effort in and they're trying. But if they sort of give up and just do sort of tiki-taka passing backwards kind of stuff, then not got much time for that.
Or the Hintenrum-Scheiße, the favorite one. Oh, Hintenrum-Scheiße. I saw Rune Jahrstein.
Really?
Yeah. It was a very, very busy Lotte day. I don't have to mention again what I do, right? And I had just picked up a couple.
Went back to Norway.
Of course he's in Norway.
Yeah. Or he was just visiting then.
Probably. Yeah. I didn't talk to him because I was busy with helping somebody, and I was walking through the VIP, and then I saw him. And I thought, okay, I have to say something to him. I don't know what to say. So I just yelled over, Rune, I love you and I miss you. And he looked at me like, what?
What? Who the hell are you? Well, it's just as well it wasn't Shellbred. If being Shellbred, you would have...
You would have
pounced on top of him.
He does something with the football school now or something. I don't speak. My Norwegian is not up to par yet, but.
Somewhere up on the West Coast, somewhere, I think it was.
Yeah.
Can't remember.
How's your Norwegian now?
Terrible. Terrible. I'm not a linguist.
Jeg drikker ikke øl. I don't drink beer.
Sounds nasty.
It says, I don't drink beer.
We went to visit a friend in the middle of nowhere in Norway. It's.
Where?
Where is it near? And what's it called? Nordfjordeir, somewhere like that. And it wasn't even there. It was where there's a big reconstruction of a Viking ship, the biggest one. Sagerstad.
Mm-hmm.
It's near that place,
okay. But
even more in the middle of nowhere than there.
Yeah. So how'd you get there? You flew into
Oslo, and then flew on a little tiny plane to a town that's about 40 minutes away.
With two little
propellers.
Oh,
that's the one.
I would have gone on.
And then our friend came and picked us up in her sort of big 4x4 thing. And we were literally sort of living...
not a dog sled.
In a hut. She has got a wonderful dog, actually, but in a hut by a lake. It was just one of these, no running water. And they had a toilet. There was an incinerator toilet. So you had a dump into what looks like a big coffee filter. And then you press a button and it goes down into it and incinerates it down below.
So fire.
So yeah,
it burns. You burn your shit.
Sealed off, so you don't actually see it. But basically, it's an incinerator toilet. So that was that.
Is it as loud as a airplane toilet?
It was very much like an airplane one. He goes,
I always go, ah.
Yeah, so it's quite a disconcerting sound, but yes. So we had a nice little visit to Norway. Running around in the hills is lovely.
I hope to go next year. My friend moved from Oslo to Bergen.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's where his wife is from.
Yeah.
And
Bergen's nice.
I know. Yeah. I heard.
Nice.
And they went there because Oslo is so much more expensive. And she works...
They've got a funny accent, too.
Oslo? Oh, yeah, yeah. I was saying some stuff when I met them over Easter. And they couldn't understand me. And they said, yeah, that's Oslo accent.
Yeah.
I said something. What was it?
You know, there's a thing, Northmen or something like that. Not a film. It there was like a series, a sort of like a semi-comic series. And they speak in English,
mm-hmm.
but with like an Oslo accent. And it sounds very silly.
Ah.
I wouldn't pretend to imitate it, but it's...
Yeah, I said something. He said, that's the wrong word. He said, no, that's what they say. Yeah. Because in Duolingo, you have certain speakers, and one speaker is from Oslo. And he said that I shouldn't speak like that.
No.
Yeah. No, but they moved there, and they, because the family is there, and Oslo is too expensive, and they want to be close to family. And they both are lawyers, so they pretty much.
Right.
Yeah. And.
It's a pretty good train length from Bergen to Oslo if you need to go that way.
But it's so expensive.
Nice.
I think we wanted to go, but the flights are so expensive. They said, or told us to come after October or in October, because then the flights get cheaper.
That's when we went in October.
So right now we're shooting for the fall break of school.
Mm-hmm.
Go there for a week. But then the fun thing, they found a house. A house they couldn't afford, but the guy liked them so much because they said that they wouldn't change, because everybody else wants to take everything down. The house was built by his parents.
Mm.
And had wood paneling, and they wanted to take everything out. And he came back and says, you know, you're the only ones I like. How much can you pay?
Cool.
And now they live in a part of town or something. It's called Paradis.
Ooh.
Paradise.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's living there having... And they always say, if everything ever goes south, I can open a coffee shop in Bergen.
It does rain a lot, either.
Who cares?
Just rain a lot. The views from the mountains and things up above.
Do they have the polar night and the polar...
You'll get it there sometimes. We saw that in October where we were. But that's about...
That's something I'm not sure I could deal with.
What?
If the sun doesn't go down or sun stays down for quite some time?
Well, the further north you go, the more that comes into play. It's not good for your head, really.
No. Yeah, that's the thing. Ah, yeah.
Anyway, we have digressed significantly.
We just talked. How do we get
here? We could call this the episode with the incinerating toilet.
We were talking about. How did we get to
mud? Good things for the season. The women's team.
No.
And the complicated.
I met Rudi Jahrstein. That's how
that's
we got
where
there.
It came. That's where
you were talking about Hintenrum Scheiße. We talked about the tiki-taki. We talked about how bad they were playing and how supportive the fans are? No.
Yes, we did.
No, we were talking about why they didn't get promoted.
They didn't score enough goals.
And then in the beginning, we said that in the beginning they lost the matches. Then we had injuries again, but I don't really want to blame injuries, because if there's always somebody injured, that's not a problem. Mm. That's the problem of your... It's bad luck and you have some structural problems in your club. We got Kovnatski from Werder Bremen on loan.
There was one game I seem to recall that there was a load of, I can't remember which one it was. There were a load of people that were injured, and we still played okay.
Yeah,
which is promising.
Yeah, but we got Kovnatski on a late loan from Bremen.
Mm.
He was the best. I think he was the best scorer for Düsseldorf the season before that.
Right.
So he was a proven player in this league, and then first he wasn't fit, because the Bundesliga starts 1 or 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
So he wasn't already in the same level. Then he finally scored a goal, and 5 seconds later, got injured, and couldn't play for another couple of weeks. Then We're all hoping for him to come back at for the training camp in the winter. He had a cold.
Yeah, cold.
And couldn't come. Hey. So is it Hertha problem?
Poor little mite.
Player? Yeah, so...
What was that Australian player that kept on sort of going off to Australia?
Leckie. Matthew Leckie.
Yeah.
And the Leckie punch.
He always came back injured.
Crazy.
Could he ever played for it?
Okay. Yeah, but this thing has been with Hertha all the time. You play well against, let's say, Bayern.
Oh, yeah.
But then you lose to Auer or...
Worthing Women's Institute.
Hey, well, not the women. Yeah, and it's just we've exchanged players, we've exchanged coaches, we've exchanged everybody else from the board members the finance guy, the sport director has changed a couple of times. What's the problem? Is there a psychological? I mean, because it's not the players.
We've angered the footballing gods.
When we got relegated for being part of a match-fixing scandal?
I think we need to make a sacrifice.
When we won the league in 1930 or 1931 after being in the final four times before we're losing?
It was 2 years running.
Yeah.
We won it.
Yeah.
It was
30 and 31.
30 and 31? Okay.
Yeah. Back in the day.
You still see stickers about the...
Yeah, of course. I mean, we have to hold on to something. Oh, my friend Heidi, she's my former roommate. She was born in Argentina, but she's German, because her father's German and she moved here at around age 3. We were roommates at some point. And at some point, I asked her to come by and she went to the Lotte with me. I think she has done more for Hertha than most fans right now. She's doing Lotte. She's a teacher now. So sometimes she comes and then we hang out. And last match, she was like, when we were walking around, she's like, you know, how do people, I mean, why did they go to Hertha? Don't you go for something? I don't understand because they never win anything. They always get their asses handed to them. You always get disappointed. And I couldn't explain to her what the thing is about.
I'm not sure I could either. That's partly what I meant about the level of support.
Yeah,
is remarkable
for sure.
With, I can't explain it either. Really,
I can.
Half the time, it's quite miserable.
I can explain because for me, it is a love for the club that goes way beyond the performance of a man's team. It's a bit of a something called they call it the last societal campfire, because church is gone, we have football, and it's the people here and the women's team. But it's just, I don't know, it's, I mean, that last match I saw people after the game being really pissed about the loss. It's like, I don't even get pissed anymore. Whatever.
I just feel a bit sort of, bleh.
Yeah.
Again.
Shit, here we go again.
Hertha is Hertha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I'm so excited about the women's team, because they don't have all these demons. They just win games. And seriously, their best scorer sometimes only comes in.
Perhaps that's what we should do. You say they don't have all these demons. I think you need to get somebody into...
Like in Ted Lasso?
An exorcist.
Burn the stuff and like in Ted Lasso?
Yeah, that's the stuff. That's what you need to do.
But he killed the dog. Daniel Rojas killed the dog, right?
No dog killing. No, you don't have to go that far.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, but I was always scared of having to cry when Hertha got relegated at some point. Because, you know, it's been a long time coming. But then when it happened, I had my daughter on my arms. I was like, okay.
Yeah, it just,
what's next?
It is, yeah.
And
yeah.
Esther had been saying for years, I know, at least the tickets will get cheaper.
Yeah.
But did they? No, they didn't.
I'm not convinced they did.
They didn't, no. No, they didn't. Hmm. Yeah.
I haven't bought a Hertha shirt for a long time.
Me neither. Even though I sometimes...
I like the one. The one that we were playing on with on Saturday, this sort of, like a diagonal sort of...
Oh, that's a cross. That's a callback to 1910, 1912, one of the first shirts they ever wore.
Pair. It's horrible.
I liked it.
No.
Well, it's
I didn't like it on the man over women. I thought it just looked horrible.
But the horrible thing is the price.
Oh, yeah.
It's 120 euros if you put on the name.
120
yes.
euros?
Yes.
That's never going to happen.
The cool thing is I sometimes get at the end of the season, we usually get a shirt for the... as a volunteer, we get shirts. So I have one with a long sleeve that says Der Berliner Weg.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. But I would really like to...
I quite like that idea. I didn't buy one, but I quite like that idea.
I really want to get one of the Castore one because I'm not sure if they're good or bad. Or Castore. How are they? Aren't they an English company or a British company?
I have no idea.
Okay, Simon. Homework for you. What?
Doesn't Rebecca know about all this kind of stuff?
Yeah. Rebecca, help.
Yeah, yeah. Homework for you. Whoops.
I know that they do rugby and golf.
Hmm. Oh, we were in a restaurant in Spandau on Saturday night, and there was a flag rugby team there.
Okay.
The German flag rugby team.
Oh, the national team?
Yes.
But how do you do flag rugby?
I've never heard of it, to be honest.
I know American football with flags, you just pull off a flag, one of those stringies, and then you're tackled.
Yes. It must be like that. Well, perhaps it wasn't rugby, perhaps it was American football.
Yeah.
It might have been, because it had rugby stroke American football shaped ball on the back. And the one thing, because they were there having this meal, there was a whole crowd of them. There were a lot of Dutch cars the following day. So I wonder whether there was some sort of international about that.
Could be.
I don't know.
I saw a guy walking around the stadium. I saw one guy, must have been Scottish or Irish. He had a Shamrock Rovers jersey, proudly wearing the white and green, running around the stadium. And he was built, oh my, Jesus. Oof. Bully kind of guy. And the funny...
I'm a big lad then.
Oh, is there, by the way, is there any, have they released a number about the last home match had the charity thing, Becher Spendetleben?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any figure for it.
Because I hate that game so much, because I walk around the stadium quite a lot. I do like 18,000 steps in the day. And every single, they have little trash cans up and the ultras are there and talk to you and try to get you into donating either your cup or some money. And because I hate, and every time I walk past them, I say, hey, did Lotte already pay some money? Yeah. So before the match, I donated 18 euros and 92 cents and I had it ready to go to show them when they talked to me. But
yeah. Stuck a fiver in the bowl.
A fiver. Okay, Simon.
Didn't work out any, well, I couldn't drink most of the drink. So
yeah. Yeah, same.
I'm not interested in that. So,
I just went for 18.92 because that's what the money I gave for
the generous of you.
That's the money I donated when we had COVID and we did the Aktion Hertha Kneipe.
Yes, yes.
The one for the
support bars and things.
Yeah,
Hertha bars that were. Yeah, I'll put some money in towards that as well.
And that's a good thing. One good thing, we have so much more than football going at the club. All the 18, 18, 19 Hilft.
Oh, yes.
Did you hear about that? Last homage, they had the Club der Alten Damen, the club of the old lady. Mm-hmm. And they got free tickets from Hertha for seniors who were not able to afford to come.
Right.
And they had tickets for them and one person accompanying them, somebody who was maybe more mobile. And then they had, I baked cake, or I baked brownies, and they had they asked people to donate cakes. And then they had set up tables outside the stadium. And people were sitting there and they could eat cake and somebody's thing was playing the guitar and stuff
like that.
Sounds
good.
Yeah. So we have so much good stuff happening at Hertha that's not...
To be fair, especially bear in mind how old the Olympiastadion is, the disabled access and things, if you go in behind... No, it always looks good to me that you can just drive the wheelchair, especially if you've got a big electric wheelchair.
Yeah,
you can just drive straight up there.
You're very
maybe there's not enough places, but
no, that's good. But the thing is, to go up there, you have to go up the stairs because there's always this little step. If you're walking around the stadium to go up, there's always this, I don't know, 20 centimeters thing, and you don't have enough ramps for that.
So even if you go further, not by the Oscar though, but if you go sort of further around down towards 3 or something, you can't just drive onto it up there?
You can at some point, but you can if you are...
You can't just drive straight up into it.
No. There's some, if you're at the right block, you can just go in. But to get up to the... how do I say this?
Yeah, what, the upper tier?
No. Oh, upper tier is... I think there's no wheelchair access for the upper tier at all.
There's no lifts anywhere?
No. I don't think so. And it's all stairs. But what I was saying, okay, if you walk around the stadium in the sun, this is the level people come in at.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you go further, like underneath the upper tier,
there
is a step of about, I don't know, 20 centimeters that you can't go up. And there's only two ramps on the entire, three ramps on the entire stadium. I know that I see wheelchair people are not being able to get in. So that's one thing that's not okay. And the whole stadium is also.
As you know, I used to sort of push people around and drive people around in wheelchairs.
I know.
A lot.
Do you miss it?
I do sometimes, yeah. But most of the people that I used to look after aren't there anymore.
Of course.
That happens, but yeah.
You never drop by with cake and say, hey.
I do call in every now and again, but there's a couple of members of staff that I'd say, yeah, say hi to. But like most of the residents, But such is life. Anyway, well, I'm on that cheery note.
Death, destruction.
Should we call it a day and then...
I'm just thinking we had covered... Covered that. Oh, yeah. No, I was still on the why didn't we get promoted. Injuries.
We kept on losing.
Yeah. Oh, no. I was about to go into that thing where them having the ovaries. You know, you score one goal.
Why? Living obsessed by ovaries.
They can't kill. They can't kill the game.
What, ovaries?
No, the game. Very often, Hatter scores one goal. Boom.
Oh.
And then, let's just stop. It might be enough.
The number of times where we've seen them, they've scored comparatively early on. Yeah. They go on and on and on, and then bing, right at the end, they concede. Yeah.
I remember the first thing I looked at when we scored a goal, okay, it's 80 more minutes. How can we?
Yeah. You just can't do that. It's just painful.
It's just strange how, going back to this cup game against Kaiserslautern, which they dominated, 6-1, they could have scored more goals, and they were really beautiful goals. It's just how...
It's down to psychology, isn't it? I think some of the time. Sometimes you can only be as good as the other team allows you to be, pretty obviously.
I think it's arrogance with this team right now.
Arrogance?
Yeah.
I've got nothing to be arrogant about.
Yeah, I know, but... we're Hertha, we're just going to somehow win this match.
No, you think they would have blown that one by now, but apparently not.
And Eichhorn has been a highlight, 16 years old.
Oh, what was he, was that young?
Oh yeah, he couldn't play in the summer. He couldn't play the friendlies because he wasn't 16 yet.
He wasn't old enough.
Yeah, and he came in and he played like he's done nothing else. 16 years old, physically, everything great. And he became the youngest player ever, but now he's also the youngest player with a red card.
It's a dubious claim to fame.
We had quite a lot of red cards this season.
Yeah.
Comparatively, we had Kovnatsky.
Well, the old ref on Saturday was a bit card happy.
But only for Hatta, right?
Apparently, well, yeah. A lot. Yeah.
Veronica is.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Profusely.
I said about a guy that was rolling around. He rolled off the pitch and then just realized where he was and rolled back again. That was dodgy as hell, that was. But he got away with it. So
we crossed the hour mark, so.
Early.
I'm satisfied.
You're satisfied. Right then.
Will I ever be satisfied?
Okay. Dear listener, we shall actually...
Oh, that quickly.
We shall record again soon.
famous last words
yeah.
from September.
Yeah, it won't be.
See you next week.
It won't be September. It'll be.
We hope.
Hopefully.
We can only hope.
In 2 weeks' time, we'll be able to cobble something together with.
That's a commitment, Simon.
If Joel comes here, we just sort of pick around.
Maybe we can get another Canadian friend back here, back on the show with a, you know?
What, with the online?
Online.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
We can give
the constantly answer. All online Patrick. Nice.
Okay, okay.
Talking in the same room, like back in the day.
Yes.
Yeah. Without sausages, I'm a bit disappointed. And no coffee, but it's okay.
Oh, what? I could have made you some coffee. Yeah, yeah, it's enormous, great big bottle of water right next to you.
Yeah, yeah, that's because I already had my two coffees for the day. I have to cut back.
Yeah, I should probably drink less, really, but I have two. Well,
I mean, Simon, you have such a healthy diet with all the legumes and stuff you eat.
Yeah.
Did Ines at some point always comment on your food pictures on Twitter?
Oh, well, I used to, back in the day with Twitter, I always used to do, take a picture of something horrendous, sort of big curry burst and chips or something. And I always said, healthy eating is important.
Yeah, and then she always replied.
Yes, it was clickbait for Ines. That's what I was doing it for.
Rage bait for Ines.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Anyway.
Yeah.
All fun and games. We shall see.
Let's hope this is all recorded.
Yeah. If it's not recorded, we're going to give up. Yeah. Do it in 2 weeks.
Like the last time, we did this great episode. And then after 1 hour, you found out that you forgot to record.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
How do we end this? We used to say this thing with that's goodbye for me, for him.
And it's goodbye for you.
But I don't know how it works.
It's from the two Ronnies.
We just go with Ha ho he and Hertha BSC, okay?
Okay.
Ha ho he,
Hertha BSC.
Hi, my name is Salomon Kalou, and keep listening to the Dalmatian Football Podcast.